Let's pray together. Lord of heaven and earth, pour out on us the abundant gifts of your Holy Spirit. May the work begun by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost continue in us as we hear your word and do your will. Amen.
Hello.
Hello.
Today I'm going to be reading from Romans 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be reunited with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who had been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you were not under law, but under grace. Thanks.
Nice job, Caitlin.
Good work.
All right. Time for us to have some kids come up and show us a little bit about what they did over the last few months together. Come on down, guys.
Stand on your wall. They came off of here.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
In earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not to temptation.
And lead us not into temptation.
But deliver us from evil.
But deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
For thine is the kingdom.
And the power.
And the power.
And the glory.
And the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Everyone.
She's ready to keep singing. Bob Redvanley, are you ready to come up and say a few words? All right.
Well, this is my first year, and we had a wonderful time in class this year, at least I did. We were fortunate to have three young ladies in the class, and even more fortunate later on that Samantha's boyfriend, Vincent, joined the class. Our class was Melanie Madsen, Mawa, Samantha Vanderwall, Midland Park, Caitlin Cohen, Fairlawn, and Vincent Delvecchio, Pequannock High School, and Morris Tech. I was not their teacher, I was the guide. If you're going up the mountain, you need a guide. You don't necessarily need a teacher. But what we wanted to do this year, or what I guess I wanted to do this year, was a few things. The first thing we did was we talked about the Old Testament, the old scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. And since we had so many women at the time, we did Ruth, the story of Ruth, which we did here. And here's Caitlin. I figured in a patriarchal world, we needed to do a Bible story about a woman. And the Bible being written by men, there's a story about a redeemer in not just Boaz, but in Ruth. Then we moved on to the New Testament. We did Mark, the gospel according to Mark. And the other thing that we really wanted to stress this year was Christian ethics, Christian morality. In a world of Christian realism, a Christian lifestyle that is somewhat different and opposed. And everything we read in the Gospels is Jesus' upside-down world, Jesus' backward thinking that the first and last is first, and those should serve, and he came to serve and be served as a model for what we need to do as Christians. We could be Sunday Christians or we can be everyday Christians. And the last thing was worship, corporate worship as we do here in church, and worship individually our own time with the Lord. That's our Sabbath. So this is basically the tenets of what I was trying to get across. And with the Bible study, not just my way or what I read the Bible as or what I'm telling them, but the idea that there are certain things you need to know, certain numbers, certain things that took place, historical stuff. But when you read the Bible, it's important that they read with their own context, from their own social location. That's the importance, I think. And I want to thank all of these young adults for all the work they do with the pageant, the reading today, leading basically the pageant, so the younger ones follow them. And I'll leave you with this one last thing. I would love to see the Sunday school grow. Not just in number, that would be great. Also in spirit, we need more children. If you know of someone, if you know somebody looking from another church that doesn't have a Sunday school, come here. We'll somehow get them back to their churches. But the important thing is that they learn the Word of God. They learn to understand. They learn to be around others. And that's important. And that's how we need to grow from the children. The children, as Jesus said, bring them to me. Don't hold them back. Because we need to be like them with the poverty. The poor in spirit, all that is from a different outlook. And the children show us that. That's why I like being around younger people. It makes me think that way. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for letting me work with you in the class. And I hope next year we open it up a little bit more for the college people coming back and make it more of a young adult class. But that's all in the works. So go to VBS, join us there where there's more children. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. She's so eager to run away before the sermon starts. I want to take a moment also to recognize all of our Sunday school teachers. There's a lot of work that goes into teaching Sunday school. It's a week in and week out investment. And sometimes there are five kids, and sometimes there is one kid, and sometimes there are no kids. But the teachers prepare week after week after week. And so I want to take some time to recognize them now. First off, you saw them up here with the preschoolers, but we have Brenda Vanderwall. You can stand up when I name you. Brenda, And Kristen Spartz has been working with that class, and so has Michelle D'Alessandro, who I think might be back in the nursery with the kids. So if she's listening in from back there, thank you. For our elementary school class, we have Nancy Gerritsen, who is working with Brady and with Brett. For our middle school class, we have Ellen Galloway, who was working with, you can stand up, Ellen, who was working with Emily and Brandon. And Emily was also working then with the kindergarten and preschool class as well. So you can stand up too, Emily, for working with them. We had Bob Redvanley with our high school class. We heard from Bob. And Cheryl Cohen led our adult class. So Cheryl, you stand up as well. So many, many thanks to them for all of that hard work. And we're going to give them a couple of weeks off to take a breath over the summer here before we get started again in September with our kickoff Sunday. I also want to just make mention of the chair of the Education Committee, who is Wendy Kaiser. Wendy, if you could stand. Wendy was the chair of the committee this year, and just making sure that things were happening with the Sunday school, with the pageant, with our vacation Bible school, and all those kinds of things. So thanks to Wendy, too. And we'll be thanking some other folks a little bit later on in the service today. Now let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I heard someone say on the internet, so it has to be true that someone said this, my relationship with God is great. I love to sin and God loves to forgive. Last week we talked about Romans chapter 5 and about this overwhelming grace of God that's able to forgive sin, and that it's not anything that we did, but it was something that God did for us, that there's nothing that we can do to contribute to our own salvation. And so, of course, logic would follow then, well, then what we do doesn't matter. Then the way we act, the way we behave, doesn't matter at all. Paul begins this next part of Romans by saying, so is it true, then, those who say, if God forgives, then let's sin all the more so that grace can abound. What better way to prove to the world that God is so gracious and so forgiving than to go out and sin as badly as we possibly can? Well, that sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? What does Paul say to those who would claim such a thing? By no means. No way, no how. Well, then why? Why is that? Well, because Paul says you're fundamentally misunderstanding what grace is and what human nature is following the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, if we have been crucified with Christ, as we claim to have done, and we have been also raised to new life with Jesus Christ, Paul says, then if we've died to that old self, then how could sin possibly remain in our lives? He says that's what baptism is, and that's why Children's Sunday is such a great day to think about this, because children always make me think of baptism. When we baptize children or adults In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we use water. Water gives life. Water refreshes. Water sustains. But water also symbolizes something else. How long can you hold your breath for? Maybe 30 seconds? Maybe a minute? Probably not as long as you think you could. It's one thing for me to say to you, hold your breath right now, and it would be another thing to say, hold your breath, let's see how long you can hold your breath, and I'm going to hold you underwater. Imagine the panic. I'm going to drown. Well, that's what baptism is. We go under the water and we die to our old selves, and then we get pulled out of the water and we take in the breath of new life. We die to our old selves and we're raised again to new life. We die to sin, we are raised to new life. And that's why Paul says, in this new life, it's not possible to live in sin. It's not possible to imagine that I can just sin all the more so that grace abounds. It is inconsistent with what it means to live a Christian life. And yet, Paul acknowledges, we still have this problem. Our own human will that keeps leading us astray, right? In the Reformed Church, we believe that sin not only injures our ability to seek out salvation through Jesus Christ, but that sin has actually destroyed our ability to do that. That there is no chance. That's what Romans 5 was all about. And it's consistent across all of humanity. Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, non-Greeks, men, women, rich, poor, everyone has this problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, when we die to our old selves, that sinful nature dies with us. And when we are raised to new life with Christ, something new is born in us. Something new happens. When a seed goes into the ground, what happens to it? Gets put dirt on it, gets watered, and it dies. But then something miraculous happens. Something new sprouts forth from it. Roots get sent down. Leaves, flowers bloom. And Jesus told a parable about the smallest of seeds and the mustard seed being planted in the ground. And when it grows into a bush that's large enough to house the birds of the air. And that's just a very small seed. That's the good news. Over the last 5 months, here at Abundant Life Reformed Church, we have experienced our fair share of death. Our friends and our loved ones. We have flowers here in the front of the church today, given in memory of Anita Vurens, whose memorial service we had here at the church yesterday morning. 8 of our congregation members over the last 5-plus months have died. But we don't despair in that. Why? because we believe in the power of resurrection. Because we put our faith and our trust that death is not the end. And we know that. And we believe that. And yet, we don't always live like that's true. There are times when we survive at all costs. We hang on to our lives, whatever that means. As a church, sometime we miss the mark with this too. If we embody as a people, as a community, that death does not have the final word, then self-preservation ought not be a part of our vocabulary. Instead, we ought to do things that risk our livelihood for the sake of the gospel. It wasn't that long ago that we observed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed to his Father in heaven, and he said, "Take this cup away from me. But not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus could have preserved his life. In fact, there was a really, really controversial movie that came out, like, I don't know, 30 years ago or so, The Last Temptation of the Christ, that depicted what would happen if Jesus did what those who were taunting him on the ground said he should do and get down from the cross. What would our faith be like if Jesus had chosen the path of survival, chosen the path of self-preservation, instead of laying down his life willingly for the sake of all of humanity? But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus laid down his life for his friends, for his enemies, for those who were persecuting him, for those who were torturing him. In his words from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, Paul writes elsewhere. And so as people who bear the banner of Jesus Christ, for those who claim to be his disciples, then our life is not called self-preservation. Our life is not a life lived for our own survival, but is about risking it all and about giving deeply of ourselves so that all might understand the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've died to our old selves. And once you've died, well, you come out on the other side and you find that death is not all that scary of a thing. It doesn't actually have a burden, a hold on you at all. There are those in this room who have been very, very near to death. You come out on the other side thinking, I've got a sense of purpose in my life. God has given me grace. Grace to live for Him. And whatever I do, it's going to be lived for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to live our lives in this faith. Not sinning so that grace can abound, but diving deep down into this well of grace, bubbling up into new and everlasting life, not fearing death, not fearing an end to something, but instead anticipating what's next. What's new? What does God have in store for us? Thanks be to God for new life. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of the gospel, for the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the new life that is born in us. We pray for the presence of your Spirit to continue to remind us of this new life that we have in you and the responsibility that we have as your people to live and put our lives on the line for the sake of this gospel message. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.